GNC 562. It's Thursday, March 26th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a part of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey everyone, I'm here in Central Texas, and it got cold again after being warm. They can't figure out what the weather wants to do here, but I got a great show for you. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the great state of Texas via the Geek News Central portable studio overlooking Central Texas. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran, and boy, yes, I am once again here in the heart of Texas, and in part tonight, as well as GoDaddy being a sponsor. This show is also sponsored tonight in part by Audible, a leading provider of spoken audio information and entertainment. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. You'll find a link to that on the website at geeknewscentral.com. But hey, I want to welcome everyone to the show. Again, my name is Todd Cochran. Make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content. Check out the archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website to find, all the older shows. Again, we're on show number 562 tonight. And as you can see, I'm, again, on the road here with the portable studio. And it's kind of interesting when I am on travel because I think last year we did maybe 20 shows on the road, which was quite a bit. But it still feels odd because nothing is like it is in Honolulu at the studio where, you know, I have a wide range of computers and different setup. So it always feels odd to go down to really what my recording studio is on the road. And what it really boils down to is two Windows computers. One of them that is doing the audio recording has all my information for what I talk about during the show. Another computer that's pushing the video out on Ustream and doing the video recording. And really, the cameras are not high-tech at all. They're just little Logitech webcams as compared to the HD cameras when we're in Honolulu. So the vibe is different tonight. I turned the lights down the room a little bit lower so that we could get nice and cozy together. Of course, those of you that are listening on the audio portion of the program, imagine a little bit of a darkened room on kind of a chilly night here in the spring in Texas, and that will set the mood for you on basically what is. And this room is weird because the air conditioning unit is like 2 feet away from me, even though this is a Hilton hotel, and it's not central, so when AC's running, it just blows on me and frees me, but the rest of the room stays hot, and I can never get this room temperature exactly right. But the stream is being pushed tonight on Clear on a WiMAX 4G connection, which is pretty remarkable in itself that I've got good connectivity here in Texas. I'm pretty excited about that. But, of course, I want to welcome, again, all of the new listeners to the show and encourage you to get subscribed to the podcast. You can do that via the second column of the website. You'll find a podcast RSS subscription there or an iTunes link or Zune Marketplace, whatever device you use. Please get subscribed to the show. That way you won't ever miss a single episode. And, of course, I produce this show twice a week. It's released every Tuesday and Friday morning. And, of course, it's recorded every Monday and Thursday night. And I do it, of course, live on Ustream as well twice a week as for those that come in and watch the video. And it's simulcast later or actually syndicated out to YouTube and Blip and a variety of other places. Sign up for our newsletter. Our newsletter contains all the content that I'm going to talk about tonight, including stuff that's been submitted by audience members. You can submit stuff to the show as well by emailing me at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or you can call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365 to leave your comments. We've got 3 comments for tonight's show. Play those at the very end of the podcast, along with going over all of the listener comments that have come in via email. Well, you know, one thing I got to enjoy here 2 days, actually yesterday, that I never get to enjoy in Honolulu is a thunderstorm. You know, in Hawaii, we get a thunderstorm maybe once every couple of years. But it was nice lightning storm last night. I actually sit here, and I've got a huge window, both corners of my room, and just sit here and had the curtains pulled all the way back, and it was quite a show. I enjoyed it. And, you know, call me weird, but, you know, when you don't get to enjoy thunderstorms very often, I always take the chance to watch when I get to see one. But been busy. Been a crazy busy week here. It really has. And really from a podcasting side and for Raw Voice, it is just like it when it rains, it pours. You know, it was a big thunderstorm last night, and it was pouring. And at the same time, really, I have been inundated with new advertisers looking for advertising deals, working on a proposal for one company that I have been really trying to get an ad deal with for, boy, probably 18 months. Those of you that are longtime listeners of the show probably know who that company is. Well, I've talked about them jokingly in the past of having them on as a sponsor, but I think we're really close to having a sign-in insertion order with them. I've got five other deals in work at the time for our podcasters over at Blueberry and Tech Podcast. So if it's a sign of the times, the economy definitely is on the mend because companies are looking to spend money. And it's so really, I'm very thankful that we're getting all these opportunities, and we're going to have a lot of shows over in the community at Blueberry and over at Tech Podcast to get on ad deals. And of course, with all our upcoming announcements, it's even more exciting. It really, really is, because we are working, the entire team is working like dogs towards NAB. I'll be sending team members out to the National Association of the NAB show and National Association of Broadcasters. And we're going to, I think some of you that have been listening to the show for a while, some of you that have come to some of my meetups, I've talked to you about what we're doing. Everyone has been pretty excited about what is to be announced. And if you listen to the show and have listened for a long time, you probably have already figured it out. But boy, I think we're on the cusp of something big, and I'm pretty excited about what we're going to announce and share with you soon. Hopefully next week. It's all a matter of, how should I say, we're waiting for someone else. Our work is done. So Angelo's been programming on some other stuff, and so we're just waiting for someone else, and once that gets done, we'll be talking about it. So maybe next week I'll be able to share the secret with you and what is forthcoming. So, but besides the advertising deals and what we got cooking, boy, I couldn't be happier with the progress of the company and the growth of the communities as well. You know, one thing else I've been noticing on Geek News Central, I know I've been yakking a lot here. We've got a lot of content to get into tonight. But if I leave my webpage open and just leave it setting there, within about 20 minutes, all of a sudden the Ustream video players start playing. And I have no idea why. The page is not being refreshed, nothing. It's just like they spontaneously start. It's very, very annoying. If anyone has any idea how to stop that, I'd love to hear their suggestions, because there's nothing in the forums. I guess it's a known bug, but, you know, I left the thing open like 11:30, and about midnight I started hearing my, what is this going, okay, I have to do something here, and I'm going to have to ban someone from the actual system here. You know, that's what happens when you get an audience, someone in the chat room who, yeah, for some reason I can't change the, I have no control right now of the IRC chat room. Well, it is what it is, guys. I apologize, but can't shut him down for some reason. Okay, anyway, going back to the discussion here, we're going to be having the iPhone app contest, and that is, I've gotten a couple of people that have already said that they're willing to participate. I'm going to leave that open for a few more days. If you're interested in participating in the iPhone app contest, and this is where I'm going to be giving away $1,000 to someone that creates the best app for Geek News Central. definitely send in me your email, and we'll set a timeline. And then once the apps are submitted by the contestants, we'll have the community vote on them and which app is the best, and then we'll award the prize. We'll have some secondary, we have the secondary prizes to give away to those that also participate, so no one will go away empty-handed. So if you want to participate in that, you can email me at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Also, if you want to get in on our sticker and swag giveaway, all you got to do is send a self-stamped addressed envelope to the address that is in our newsletter, and that will get you some swag sent back to me, sent back to you upon receipt. So if you want to get involved with that, make sure you're subscribed to our newsletter as well. All right, let me go ahead and take care of a little business here, and then we'll get into the regular content. Of course, you guys know GoDaddy is a longtime sponsor here of the Geek News Central podcast. And if you're looking for a domain name, dedicated server, shared hosting account, whatever it may be, feel free to check out GoDaddy. And when you get to that checkout counter, definitely use one of my promo codes. You can use the promo code Todd. That'll save you 10% on non-domain orders. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. Todd20 will save you 20% on a one-year shared hosting account. And, of course, the ComSale will get you .coms at $7.49, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So, of course, we mentioned earlier in the show that Audible is one of the sponsors of the show. You can check out the link on the front page of Geek News Central. Go ahead and check out Audible and their great products and services. Definitely consider a subscription over there, and we definitely appreciate Audible being a sponsor here at Geek News Central from me there. Okay, first article tonight comes from Engadget. And, you know, we all have a variety of family members in this stages of, how should I say it, maturity. And some folks are at the age where, you know, they may have to be on medications on a regular basis but have to be reminded to take their meds. There's a company called Vitality that's produced what's called a Vitality Glow Cap. And what this cap does is it's really pretty amazing because it essentially blinks green whenever you're supposed to take a med. It has the ability to self-program it on the bottom of it. It's not necessarily difficult to open like some of those prescription caps are, but it's pretty cool. And you have to check this out, but it's called Vitality Glow Cap Bottle. And the cap actually glows a variety of colors depending on what state it is, if you're getting close to having to take a med or not, or if it's red, you're not supposed to take anything. So anyway, have this up in the show notes. You guys can check it out. I don't know what the price on this is, but pretty cool. It's been tied into some wireless network stuff too. So interesting move on Vitality's part. The JoJo tablet is now shipping and should be to consumers on March 29th. Of course, this has been a long-awaited vaporware, which is, I guess, actually now going to be an actual product. If you remember, TechCrunch at one point was involved in the development of this tablet, and there was, of course, I think there's still some legal proceedings going on over that. But I'm sure their attempt here is to get the JoJo out into some consumers' hands before the iPad launches. And really, I think what I think what's going to happen here is that the iPad itself is going to essentially destroy any hopes that this company had of having any type of successful sales level. But you can still get one if you want to. $499 for a while, or at least available for $499, same price as the baseline iPad. Okay. Also, announcement out of Time Warner today. They are introducing New York City Wi-Fi to the entire city. Now, when they say available to the entire city, that's a pretty bold statement. But now, in around the New York area, specifically in Manhattan, all Roadrunner high-speed online customers can access Time Warner Cable Wi-Fi access points for free. And they say in widespread locations throughout the New York City region. And this access included no additional charge with your Roadrunner high-speed online subscription. So if you are a Roadrunner user and you're in the New York area, I'll have the link in the show notes here on how you can actually get access to those Wi-Fi hotspots. Those on Verizon and have an Android phone, as of today, you can use Skype Mobile on those devices. And there's been some testing done already where you now don't necessarily have to be connected to a Wi-Fi. If you are on a 3G connection, you can use Skype Mobile to make phone calls. So it's pretty cool. And it again, it does work on 3G, but it doesn't work on Wi-Fi. So if you're in an area where, you know, you're strictly on Wi-Fi, you won't be able to use the Skype Mobile app, which seems to be kind of odd that they would have not made it available to be utilized with Wi-Fi. If any of you have an Android phone on Verizon and you load Skype Mobile, I'd love to hear from you on your experience on that and test it out in Wi-Fi. Let us, you know, if there's any reasoning why they haven't enabled that, love to hear your feedback. geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, you can call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Hey, we're on ZDNet. On the Pond to Own 2010 conference, the iPhone SMS database was hacked and hijacked in literally 10 seconds. What essentially happened there with during this hacking contest, where $15,000 was up to grab, which they have won, they used an exploit against a previously unknown vulnerability, and they used what they did is they lured the target iPhone to essentially a rigged website, and from that website the iPhone was able to give up and dump its database back to the honey bucket they had set up in about 20 seconds. The exploit itself crashed the iPhone's browser session. But with some additional effort, the hackers believe he could have an successful attack, basically capturing everything in the iPhone. Now, because this was a sponsored, I guess for a better word, contest, the hack is not going to be released into the open. It's going to be turned over to Apple to fix. But it just goes to prove, once again, that data that you have in your phones is not necessarily safe from people being able to access it, depending on where you're going with your phone on a specific web browser. So be careful where you're surfing to, because you never know. You might have all of your SMS data downloaded. If they want my SMS data that bad, you know, there's nothing I would say. Would you be embarrassed if your SMS data was downloaded and made publicly available? Do you have text back to your significant other or girlfriend, or, you know, would that be troubling to you? It is kind of interesting that they obviously they'd been working on this for a while and had this prepared for this event. But yep, download the SMS database, text messages, and in addition to text messages, it had already been deleted. So it didn't matter if you had removed them already. They still pulled those that were some in the system memory. GoDaddy announced, I believe yesterday, that they have decided to essentially quit doing business in China. In other words, they're not going to be signing or selling domain names to people in China. And the reason for this is China has put forth new rules on domain registers, asking domain registers to provide a lot more data than what it was usually given up in a normal registration. Now, while you have to put in your name, your address, your city, and all that stuff, that goes in your DNS, and basically when you register domain, China wanted stuff, things as a picture, and a whole bunch of variety of other information. They wanted proof of identification. So you can go register a domain name as long as you have a way to pay for it, and you can get it through their charge system. You can put Donald Duck as a registrant, even though it may not be acceptable under normal rules. But the Chinese government, again, wanted a headshot, full identification, and signed registration forms. GoDaddy, in a congressional hearing, basically said that they're going to stop registering .cn domain names as well. And so GoDaddy is the second company, including Google, to basically say they're not going to do business with China in these types of circumstances. And I personally applaud GoDaddy for their decision on this. And also, I believe Network Solutions also stepped up to the plate and made the same decision as well. So two big domain registers basically have decided not to play ball with the Chinese, which is, you know, it's too bad because people in China are going to have a harder time registering domains. But I think some of the smaller registers are probably will benefit because I think China will have a hard time, you know, really going after every register and demanding these requirements. Some will probably just say, you know, we ignore China completely. And not all of them can register .cn domains, too. So that's a complication. But be curious to see what Chinese, what the folks in China are going to do to get around this limitation that's been implemented by both GoDaddy and Network Solutions. And basically, they're trying to protect the people that are registering domains. It's obvious what China's doing. If you set up some sort of anti-government website and the register is required to provide the government, you know, extremely high detailed data on who you are, and they're just going to come round you up Gestapo style and head you off for re-education. So it just goes to show this battle with the Chinese government is never going to end, but it is interesting to see what's happening in the digital age. All right, one thing I've been wondering about, because since I've ordered an iPad for myself, and you guys know that I travel with two laptops, is, you know, am I going to have to pull my iPad out just like I do my laptops to put them in a X-ray bin when I'm going through security? Now, up to this point, I have been able to essentially avoid having to pull my Kindle out. But at the same time, the iPad being a little bit bigger device looks more like, really, like a netbook, or not like a notebook, but like a tablet. So TSA is saying that it is more than likely that you're going to have to pull out your iPad and put it in a separate bin, just like you do currently with your laptop. So I think I'll put this to the test. First time I fly with my iPad, I'm going to leave it in the bag, take out my laptops, and see if it'll actually go through the X-ray. But, you know, it's going to it's already sucks to have to put two bins on the X-ray belt, plus a, you know, place where my belt and shoes. And if I have to carry a coat, that's three bins. And now to have to pull the fourth one out, I can just see some people give me a stink eye, as they call in Hawaii, give me the dirty look. But I'm sure a lot of us are going to be in that situation, and unless you're carrying one of those TSA-compliant bags. But my laptop bag is thick, so it just won't work. Bad news on that front. We'll just have to see how it goes, though. A little bit of science information out of Gizmodo. A British sub is to explore the depths of the oceans between Cuba and Jamaica. They're going to be exploring the Cayman Trough. It's a rift where two plates come together. And they're going to be dropping off mini robot submarines. They're going to be going out and doing autonomous type of exploration. They're going to be looking at black smoker columns, all kinds of different types of doing all types of scientists in the depths. And what I think is cool here is that many of these devices that they're going to be dropping or launching into the trough are going to be unmanned. So it'll be pretty cool to see what they come back with and what information they come back and the science that they produce. I always like watching those, you know, the shows where they actually, you know, take submersibles to deep depths and do a variety of different documentaries. So we'll have to see how this works out. But link will be up in the show notes on that. All right, over on GigaOhm, T-Mobile is really trying to step up their game here. As you know, T-Mobile, I am a big fan of T-Mobile. I like their mobile network. I'm not especially pleased with their data network, but they've been in a big catch-up mode this year. But T-Mobile has detailed its next network upgrade, and of course they are, you know, they're working very quickly to catch up with everyone, and they are going to be launching essentially to a 3.5G network rather than a 4G LTE standard. So they're saying by the end of the year that they will have all of their network upgraded. Those of you that live in Philly, New York, and Washington, D.C. already have the new speeds available on their 3.5G network. Now, do you have a phone that will actually do that on T-Mobile? But some interesting facts are coming out from T-Mobile CTO. GigaOm asked about data consumption. They're saying that the average Android customer right now is consuming between 400 and 600 megabytes of data per month. And that's a pretty good number for, you know, as slow as their network's been up to this point. Their T-Mobile is, just like AT&T and Sprint and Verizon, implementing a 5 gigabit cap on their mobile connections. And T-Mobile feels that in the near future, most of the carriers, including themselves, are going to be worried more about the amount of data being consumed by, instead of the number of minutes you're consuming on your on the phone itself. Much heavier utilization of the network is caused by those of us doing checking on email and doing checking our Twitter accounts and so forth. So they essentially think the pricing is going to move to usage based on data, and probably at some point the voice portion will become kind of an afterthought. So we'll see what happens with this, with T-Mobile having a lesser spectrum available and less deployment yet. They've been able to learn from whatever carriers have, mistakes carriers have made, and are trying to roll out in a smart way. So we'll see what happens with their rollout. How many of you are experiencing T-Mobile with their new 3G speed and what your experience has been so far? If send me an email, geeknews@gmail.com, and we'll share that with the rest of the audience. Hey, Dave Weiner over at scripting.com, he's been talking about this in his blog for about a week now. It's called the Scan Snap. Have you guys heard about this scanner? And he's got a video on this thing. Scan Snap is made by Fujitsu, and what's unique about this scanner is that it scans both sides of the paper at the same time. And, nothing more annoying. I've got a scanner at home, basically a big HP multifunction printer, and it's huge, and it will basically take a paper in, scan one side of it, pull it back out, flip it over, and scan the other side. But it just, it takes forever, and it's noisy. This scanner is small, and just right through, and it does both sides at the same time. Very cool stuff. And you just got to see the video. Dave created this. It's short. It's a little demo, and he shows the quality of the scan. This may be my next scanner for the desktop. It definitely is pretty cool. It definitely will save those of you that do a lot of scanning, save you a lot of time. All right, over on Robin Good's website at masternewmedia.org, one thing I always tell podcasters is you have to go where your listeners are. And that sometimes means going to a variety of public forums. It means going to events where your listeners are at. It's a lot of self-promotion is required to build your show. And the same thing goes with promoting your website. So Robin's got a good forum marketing strategy, and the title of this is How to Promote Your Site Through Online Forums. He gives you a lot of advice here, a lot of links, a lot of places to look for groups that are basically sharing and talking about the same type of topics that you may be blogging about or podcasting about, and some facts that go behind it. So I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. All right, over on paidcontent.org, there's a pretty good article about some of the stuff going on with Google and Android. Google apparently has made advertising revenue sharing deals with the carriers. Now, in just 18 months, the Android the number of Android phones has grown to the point where there's about 60,000 being shipped a day. And we all know there's been a large number of devices and more coming. And a lot of people have been wondering, okay, you've got the iPhone, which is doing very well. BlackBerry continues to sell well. Now you've got the Android on the market. People would never buy an iPhone and choose Android instead. But part of the reason for the fast growth of this specific phone is because of the deal that Google has made with the carriers and revenue sharing. It makes a lot of sense. And part of the deal requirements are is that the carrier has to put on a variety of Google apps, Google Maps, Gmail, What else is on here? Search, a variety of other applications as well from Google in order to get the rev share. Now, it appears that Google has agreed to pay $750 million for the mobile ad network AdMob in conjunction with this. They, you know, they're understanding very well that they have to have, in order to make these deals work and continue growth, they've got to be able to serve serve ads to the phone, and that was part of the strategy in buying AdMob. So, you know, pretty cool strategy on Google's part. I don't think Apple's doing any advertising revenue share. All right, Netflix users, Netflix via Wii is coming soon. So many of you have DVD players, or you may have a Roku, or you may have whatever device you may have that has got Netflix installed already. If you've got a Wii, it's not going to be very long that you'll be able to watch your Netflix stream videos via the Wii. You'll require a disc, though. The disc is going to cost, well, actually, they're going to ship the disc. Today, we shipped out instant streaming discs for the Wii to some of our Netflix members. So some of you are going to be getting an actual disc in the mail. And really, it's going to work the same way that it works on the PlayStation. You're going to have to stick in the disc, and then the app will load, and you'll be able to stream from your account via the Wii. So pretty cool. Netflix is being smart on this deployment strategy. How many of you are watching Netflix stream videos on a device other than a Roku? How many are using something like a DVD player? I'm kind of getting an idea how widespread they are. I don't know how many different devices are on. I probably could go over to Netflix and find out. But let's hear from the audience members. Drop me an email at geeknews@gmail.com. Tell me what device you're using to stream Netflix videos onto your TV, or if you're just using your computer, or how many of you didn't know. But I'm sure you can't miss it. You go into any big box store, almost every DVD box says with Netflix, with YouTube, Pandora. Those seem to be kind of the big three. But what devices are you using out there to stream Netflix on your television sets? Over on PadGadget.com, they did some snooping around, and apparently Apple is already dropping in several iPad apps in the App Store. Now, you're not going to find any of these apps using standard iTunes browser. What you need to do is use Apple's more recent web interface. Now, we talked a little bit about that. For those of you that want to kind of see a little bit about the web interface, really all you got to do is click on the iTunes link on Geek News Central. That'll give you a little bit of a bit of a clue. But how you get to the iTunes web interface with limited usability yet is go to itunes.apple.com. And, well, I just put the link up in the show notes, and you all can go there yourself. But it's very obvious to me that Apple is going to have a full-blown web-based store soon beyond using iTunes, which is smart on their part. But they dug this out on that website. Now, how long it's going to be there, if it's still there, is a good question. But you actually couldn't buy any of the apps that they found. But I'm looking at the small list here. None of them are apps I'm even familiar with. Well, yeah, maybe one, but it looks like primarily all games. So anyway, I have that link up in the show notes for you. All right, over on the LA Times blog at latimes.com, Google has added Twitter feed for real-time searches in google.com.hk website. Now, I'm sure this is going to upset the folks over at in China again, but see, Beijing had restricted Google from doing this, but so now Google has opened that pipe up as well, introducing a real-time Twitter feed on its search results page, and this lifts a 9-month blackout of the microblogging service in China. The thing is, I'm hearing, and this is what's been reported, that China's trying to block the Google.com.hk website at all cost, but Google continues to just go ahead and, you know, open things up as they should. Folks over at CBS are preparing for HTML5. Basically, I knew this was coming. We all know that the iPad will not be doing Flash, and what that really means is that sites are going to have to get HTML5 capable real quick if they want videos to be seen on their websites. So CBS has got telltale signs on their website that they're prepping for HTML5. So I would almost bet if you know companies have been smart and on the ball, what's going to happen is come April 3rd, we're going to see a lot of websites essentially have HTML5 compatibility so that when you go there on your iPad or even on your iPhone or iTouch, you're going to be able to watch videos now as compared to having before that gray box with a big question mark. So I think it's going to hurry the implementation of HTML5. You know, Apple is, you know, I have to give it to Apple. They're going to help the HTML5 standard more than anyone else. Now, the next question will be is whether or not they're going to be able to get a handle on this H.264 issue with the forthcoming royalties becoming due in a couple of years. I'm sure that's all going to work its way out. But, you know, they've been Apple's been pretty smart on this, so we'll see what develops. All right, remember this is a computer hacker. Matter of fact, one of the contributing bloggers at Geek News Central had actually written an article on this. His credit card was one of the huge millions of credit cards that had been basically hijacked by this guy. But this computer hacker from Florida, he was sentenced to 20 years in prison for helping engineer one of the largest thefts of credit card and debit cards in American history. A judge by the name of Patty Saris of Federal District Court sentenced the hacker Albert Gonzalez of Miami to 20 years. Prosecutors had sought 25 years in prison for him, but he cost banks and insurers nearly $200 million. So this guy has moved some of the assets off out of country. So a lot of this stuff is not has not been recovered. But $200 million was what he was responsible for. So, of course, they don't go into the full details here, but 20 years of slammer. If you can't do the time, don't do the crime. But he's definitely going away for a while. So what does that 20-year actually mean? Does that 20-year prison term actually mean he'll do like 7 and then he'll get out on probation? As the Geek News Central contributing editor had said, he felt the guy should be banned from using computers for life, but that did not go down in the sentencing. I'm sure it'll be part of his parole at some point later on, but at least not at this point. Over on the GadgetWise blog at the New York Times, they are suggesting, and I don't know if I agree with this. You guys know I'm a big fan of the flip camera, and the flip camera recorder has done. It's a great device, takes great video for the price of it. I have gotten a couple as review units. My wife won one in a contest, so, you know, we've got a number of flips running around in the house. And this author, Bob Tedeschi, is suggesting that an old iPhone outfitted with some of the video apps that he has written about is a better call than buying a flip camcorder. I don't know if I agree with that. I don't, you know, my. First of all, how many of us have old iPhones already? I'm sure most of us are using our iPhones. Now, if you have a first-gen iPhone, the video and the camera on that is not better. Absolutely not better than a flip camera. Now, again, I don't know if you want to give a $149 flip camera to your kids to use or not, but, you know, when I took the kids to California on vacation a year and a half ago, you know, both of them had flip cameras they carried around, and at the time they were 11 and 12, and they took lots of cool videos, and I let them do the editing on it when we got home, and we did this, like, little in-mini contest to see who could produce the best video. At this point, my 6-year-old, he's getting into it now. You know, I basically give them a little lanyard. They put it around their neck. It's not going to get lost or dropped because it's on a, you know, it's basically on a tether. And, you know, great way to get kids introduced to shooting video. Now, I don't think I can tether an iPhone. But how many of you think the iPhone camera is better than a flip? I can almost guarantee it's not better. Based on my personal utilization of the flip camera. Article over on ArsTechnica.com, and this blew me away. it's the title of this is Almost Half of Poor Americans Go to the Library for Internet. Now, I know for a long time we had a lot of listeners to this show that were getting the content downloaded through the library, and I know that some still do. But a report released by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation said that 44% of those living below the poverty level access email and the web via their local library. And nearly a third of Americans over 14 used the library internet services in 2009. That's about 77 million people. This was a study based on almost 50,000 telephone and web form surveys. It also found that 40% of those in 2009, 40% of those 2009 users accessed the library internet resources to find employment. 75% of those looked for a job online, and half posted their resume or filled out an online job application. Maybe I shouldn't be surprised about this. These are extraordinary high numbers. And I guess it makes sense. You know, the library's there for the public to use. If you can't afford to have an internet service in your home, and with the economy the way it is, people have cut their cut expenses to the bone, so it's understandable. It goes on to say another 37% researched some form of illness or medical problem. 42% use their local library internet for education, which is terrific. 60% access a library computer to contact someone else. And I think this proves, you know, in Honolulu, they're shutting down, I think, 10 or 11% of the libraries in Hawaii because of budget cuts. I'm sure that's happening in many of our communities. So I think it's important that, you know, from a technological perspective, those of us that have the means to, you know, to basically go out there and you know, tell our local politicians, keep the libraries open, because it's very, very obvious in this report that was produced again by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation that, you know, the library is the really, and for many, the only access of the internet. And I just never realized it was that high. I really didn't. I'll be honest. I was pretty ignorant on this subject. So love to hear from those of you that are using the internet from a library. Are any of you impacted? Are any of you in a situation where your local library is going to be closed and you're going to no longer have access? I really love to hear from you on your comments. And again, if you want to leave an anonymous comment, that's fine as well. Just, you know, fire it out to me and just tell me you don't want your name or something said. I don't want to embarrass anybody that listens to the show. But love to hear your feedback on this. And for those of you that know, are any of you as shocked as I am on this? It's amazing. It really, really is. And, you know, I think it goes back to, you know, the cost of computing, the cost of the physical computers have dropped to all-time lows. I think we all know that, you know, there you can almost get a computer now for a little over $300. But then you also kind of forget, well, then that requires, what, another $40 a month for some sort of internet connection, or if you even go at the very lowest end to get a dial-up connection, that might be $14 to $20. Still some significant cost to people in tough times and those that are, you know, have the means. So it's pretty shocking to me and eye-opening. It really, really is. But anyway, I have this link up in the show notes. You guys can check it out. Okay, how many of you had, in the last couple of years, received one of those robocaller calls? And they always start off with, please wait online for a special announcement. And we've had a few of those call our voicemail hotline, as you guys hear from time to time. The robocalling that I'm talking about as well was pretty blatant in that it ignored do not call rules and dialed just about everyone in the country. And they were basically selling factory warranties on your car. Well, the individual behind that has essentially been handed a pretty big fine by the FTC. James Dunn, head of a company called Voice Touch Incorporated, who worked as a broker who hooked up telemarketing companies, has been fined $655,000 by the FTC. All the proceeds from the sale of his second home and his cars go back to the FTC, and he is also barred from working in telemarketing and has to assist the FTC in its ongoing case against other companies and individuals. So, again, another individual who thought he could skirt the law has been forced to pay back $655,000, and proceeds of the sale of his second home and cars go back to the federal government. And for all of us, time asking to, you know, trying to sell us a factory warranty for our vehicles, be happy tonight that this guy is in pretty heavy to the government for a pretty big fine. Now, the question is, how much did he really earn? How much, you know, did, you know, he has to pay $655,000 back, but did he make $6.5 million? Or, you know, what was the, they don't go into that in the article at all. I love this one. For those in the UK, you're going to get a smile out of this. UK regulators officially mock US over ISP competition. You know, again, here in the United States, we all know we're falling farther and further behind in really basic speed increments for our internet access. And most of us, I think last week or last show we said 70% of us only really have one choice for broadband, maybe two choices. I know in Honolulu I have two, basically the phone company on DSL or the cable company, and the speed difference between those is dramatic, so there really isn't competition. But here's what they say in the UK. Availability of super-fast broadband in the UK, some 46% of homes, is now ahead of most large economies where deployments have been funded commercially. In the United States, AT&T and Verizon have upgraded their networks to cover 17% and 12% of households, respectively, while cable company Comcast is approaching coverage around 35% of U.S. households with super-fast cable broadband. And they go on to say that, talk deeper in here, that this is largely due to no competition. And it just goes on and on. And the folks in the UK really bring up the point that competition's good. And we mandate stuff. In the UK, they order incumbent telecompanies to, like BT, to share its fiber lines with any ISP is willing to pay. In places where BT hasn't yet run fiber, they order the company to share its ducts and poles for anyone who wants to run fiber. And in the 14% of the UK without meaningful broadband competition, they slap price controls on internet access to keep people from getting gouged. Bravo, bravo. In the United States, the broadband, the companies say there's not enough. Fiber, and that we can't afford to put any more on, and we can't afford to let anyone else run on our networks because we don't have enough for ourselves. We can't share. Oh boy, it's amazing. Just an amazing difference. All right, Google's new Gmail geolocation feature aims to prevent you from being scammed. Google's added an additional security measure. Basically, what this does is it really detects. If you log into Gmail, like here in Texas, I'm logged. If I log into Gmail, and then all of a sudden someone logs into Gmail of my account in Florida, Google's going to say, "Hey, Todd, you can't be in the same place at two places at the same time," and they're going to basically pop up a security window, and you have to go through a variety of steps to basically get into the account. This is also going to be used on the other end where people are trying to send scam emails and so forth. But this is pretty big that they're using geolocation now to prevent scams. And this is has a supplemental article that goes along with it. So when you read this article tonight, actually, I just put both of them. I put both links one after the other in the show notes for you to check out. So I'll have one slightly tabbed in a little bit, so you can find it easily tonight in the podcast show notes. Again, if you have comments on tonight's show, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. Okay, we all agree as parents, this whole sexting thing is not good. We all know that we don't want our teenagers taking pictures of themselves in any state of undress, or taking pictures of their friends or girlfriends or boyfriends in any state of undress and then texting that to someone else. So, you know, there's been very devastating consequences to many teenagers at this point because they've been slapped with child pornography charges, and they go on a child predator list, and it's just bad. It really, really is. We talked about a little bit on the last show how some states are starting to really say, okay, we should not be charging children with a felony for being stupid. And so I guess there's now 13 states that are working to set in new rules about sexting, and each state is going to be a little different. One of the proposals is going to make the offense a misdemeanor if it occurs between children aged between 13 and 18, so it actually includes someone that's also an adult, that have a relationship, and also it isn't something, you know, like someone is taking a picture, you know, they're still going to prosecute people that maybe get a picture somewhere where they shouldn't, like a gym shower or something like that, and then send that out. Those people are still going to be affected, but this, you know, the semi-innocent but stupid, it's not necessarily innocent, this stupid sexting is going to be, in some states, lowered from a felony, and these teenagers are not going to have their lives ruined by being on some child predator list. So I think this is good. I really do, because this was, you know, some of these charges were over the top. They really were. And kids' lives are being ruined over this. And I think all of you that listen to this show know to talk to your kids and how serious this is. But it's nice to see, for a change, some lawmakers having a little bit of common sense. Now, does anybody disagree with me here on this? I'd love to hear from you. I really would. Geeknews@gmail.com. Obviously, I would be outraged if all of a sudden my daughter's pictures ended up somewhere they shouldn't. But I would also at the same point be outraged that she allowed herself to get in a position to have those pictures taken in the first place. So I think we all just have to, you know, keep our kids educated for sure. All right, great article on what is more doomed, cable TV or internet video. And there's about three articles, sub-articles, that you have to read to go along with this main article. Over on Cable Tech Talk, there's a post that talks about the future of cable television. It's a response by a guy by the name of Paul Rodriguez to an Atlantic Monthly article titled Cable TV is Doomed, which was penned by Max Fisher. Rodriguez called that story one of the most uninformed articles he's ever seen on the cable industry. And his pushback piece is titled Cable TV Doomed Like Dinosaur. So anyway, I'll have this all linked up for you. You got to read these. These are good. These are really good. And there's a lot of good points on both debates. You know, those of you that hung around after South by Southwest, after I went to South by Southwest, the show after South by Southwest, and when I played the Mark Cuban debate, you guys will have heard this discussion. It all went on already, and we've talked about it on the show and how it'll be a very long time, in my opinion, before internet television complete. You know, it's just a generational thing. Many of you right now are consuming all of your content via the internet. Those that are older are consuming most of their content on a regular TV. And as that generation gets older and passes away, or essentially, the generation that's coming up now will largely do stuff on the internet. So it'll shift slowly over time. That's really the only thing that the cable industry has going for it. And also, it's easy. You know, they've already got the infrastructure on cable TV, and it's easy to distribute content. It's not easy to give all of us, you know, 1 gig access to our homes in order to consume all this content with all our other neighbors doing the same exact thing at the same exact time. So we'll see a gradual raise in capacity, and the gap will close in video, and the video quality gap will close. So this is all going to happen, but great articles. It really lays out, I think, where we're headed with video on digital. Got another article I'm just going to link to, talking about how China has issued rules to their media for stories on Google. And it just goes back to the point. You know, how everyone, China's our friend, and, they got our, they're funding our debt. And, Chinese government says only use central government main media website content. Do not use content from other sources. Do not produce relevant topic pages. Do not set discussion sessions. Do not conduct related investigative reporting. And it just goes on, do not. And so China is, they are now in an information lockdown on the Google story. And, Red China. Yep, that's what they are. They're still a communist country controlled by a regime, lest we forget. YouTube was down this morning for a couple of hours. When I was getting out of bed here in Texas, tried to bring up YouTube, and it was dead on arrival. So they were down for a while. No real explanation of what happened. What else do I have here for you? Hey, there's a pretty cool article on the Bad Astronomer in that they have found that as much as 90% of previously hidden galaxies in the distant universe have recently been found by astronomers using the Very Large Telescope in Chile. Previous surveys had looked for distant, in other words, 10 billion light years away galaxies by searching a wavelength of ultraviolet light emitted by hydrogen atoms. And these distant young galaxies should be blasting out this light, but very few were detected. And it turns out the problem is that the ultraviolet light never got out of the galaxy, so we never saw them. In the new study, astronomers have searched different wavelengths emitted by hydrogen and voila, 10 times as many galaxies could be seen, meaning 90% of what they knew existed before had been missed. Now, if they had detected in before in a survey billions of galaxies and numbers that were too numerous to comprehend, and now they have found another 90%, what does that do to your brain? I know it doesn't. It doesn't. It kind of makes you go, wow. It really does. Hey, good article on timesonline.co.uk about a guy that for about 500 pounds has been launching weather balloons and strapping to it a digital camera, a GPS, and some basically software running and basically taking pictures at very high altitudes. NASA actually sent the guy a email asking him how he was doing that, and was surprised by the price upon which he was, how much it was costing him to do this. And NASA said, we couldn't have done anything like that for less than $1 million. But this guy is just a regular dude that has built a device that really keeps his, keeps his camera from freezing, and a little timer, and using a weather balloon has gotten some remarkable pictures, and remarkable they are. I would, it looks like he's in space. It's a pretty amazing picture. It really, really is. So I'll have this link up for you in the show notes. Apparently, a woman by the name of Stephanie Migat has for 2 years been fighting to stop the trademark of the word SEO, search engine optimization. She did this all by herself. She spent $17,000 in legal fees to get the application thrown out. She did it all by herself. And she is to be applauded for her work. But, talk about dedication. She spent 17 grand of her own money to stop SEO from being trademarked. No one else stepped up to help. A few people did initially. But if she had not done this, some company would have been able to trademark the word SEO and probably would have caused massive pain to everyone that is a search engine specialist that uses the word SEO in their business. It could have been ugly. So I hope the SEO community gets behind and raises some money for this gal to help pay for her $17,000 in legal bills that she spent. It just goes to show you what the power of one person can do. Hopefully those in the SEO community will take some of that hard-earned cash that they've earned and contribute to, show some appreciation back to her. But, boy, you have to really think. Would you lay $17,000 out to fight off a single word from being trademarked? Would you do that in your business marketplace or as an individual without a business associated with it? I'd be hard-pressed to. I really would. To explain that one to my wife. Hey, honey, I'm going to spend $17,000 to fight SEO from being trademarked. She would run me out of the house and take the checkbook away. Sadly, next story here. Those of you in the UK, as predicted, the digital economy bill has made its way through the House of Lords. The House of Commons decided they would not debate it. Instead, it looks like this bill is going to get pushed through and what they call in the UK a wash-up process. I guess that's kind of like reconciliation here in the United States. And I guess in the UK, just like we had a health care bill, the Parliament's not going, well, they debated it for 20 hours, I guess, here. But the Parliament in the UK is not going to be debating the digital economy bill. So I think what's going to happen here is UK, those of you in the UK, you're about to have this thing jammed down your throats. And if you don't speak up very, very quickly like today, maybe too late. So wash up. That's what they call it in the UK. I guess they call that reconciliation here in the United States. Hey, the folks over at ABC are really smacking NASA around for paying $66 a person for seminar snacks. And, you know, let's be fair. How many of you have ever run a seminar or had a day event where people come in and you've basically fed them a light lunch? You know, in the government, they can't have a dinner. Or they have to call things snacks within the rules of, you know, providing food for events. So I'm sure what happened was at this NASA event, I'm sure people got fed with snacks. And some greedy vendor said, oh, this is $66 a person. You know, I've run events before where, you know, they brought in just a small amount of food and I paid $45 a head. A lot of time you're at the mercy of the place you're holding the event at, or you get the venue for free and have to pay for food. You know, in these times, every time there's a, you know, way to whack away at anything anybody in the government does, they did. So, you know, I'm not saying it's right and I'm saying it's wrong, but a little more context would be good, but $66 for snacks during a seminar. A lot, isn't it? Okay, let's go ahead and get into the voicemails tonight, and then we'll get into the emails. I haven't reviewed these, so let me go ahead and start these off. Again, if you have comments, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. I guess things cleaned up in the Ustream stream. Boy, that was awful annoying at the very beginning. What happened? How'd you guys get rid of him? All right, let me go ahead and, or is he still here? He's probably going to start up again. All right, let me go ahead and play the first voicemail here.
Hey, Todd, this is Scott in Texas. Hey, I'm sure someone has mentioned this before, but just in case no one has, I wanted to say that in the last, I want to say 3 or 4 podcasts, there have been missing sections of audio. If it's helpful to know, I download via Zoom Marketplace. I just want to make sure you're aware of it, that about 4 or 5 times during the show, there'd be about a half a second missing, maybe 2 to 3 words. I don't know, just want to make sure you're aware so you can look into it. Thanks for the show. Have a good one.
Oh, no, I was not aware of that. That is kind of odd. And I'm wondering if it's because I have a number of things going on this computer and maybe Audition's getting a little bit behind. Good catch, though, on your part. Thanks for the heads up. I don't know if there's anything I can do about it, but it should have, has it been, probably it's been since I've been on the road, yeah? Interesting. Anyone else on Ustream seen that happen? I haven't. Of course, I don't listen to my own show, but yeah, thanks for the heads up and see if I can check into it. I don't know if I can do anything about it, but apologies. Just need to work on the process, I guess. Okay, here comes the next voicemail.
Hey, Todd, this is Clint calling from Houston, Texas. I am here to say today that I have had it with the iPhone. The ACC HD2 is premiering today, Wednesday, March 24, 2010. And I am standing here at T-Mobile waiting for it to open up so I can get one. With Apple deciding they wanted to do things like releasing baseband to forever lock out phone unlockers, as well as other little nasties they're trying to do to prevent people from unlocking their phones, I have pretty much had it with Apple and the iPhone. Also, if you look at the HD2, it is really, when you get down to it, a much better phone in nearly every aspect. So I'm here waiting to pick up mine. I will call and drop a message when I have it in hand. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You sound like you are totally thrilled to be getting rid of your iPhone. You know, I was on a phone call today. I had 5 bars, and it just disconnected. I called the person back. They said, yeah, I had 5 bars, too. What happened? I said, I don't know. She says, I hate the iPhone. I said, I hate the iPhone. No, we hate AT&T. Yeah, let us know. Maybe you called back to let me know how it is. But I think, you know, what's going to happen here is Google keeps it up, and the Android interface keeps on improving. It's definitely going to give the iPhone a run for its money. You know, here's the challenge. The iPhone is sexy. It's got sex appeal. It looks cool. It really, really does. And the challenge that other phone makers have is they got to make their phones more sexy. You know, it's just, it's got cool, it's slick, it looks nice. That, you know, that's part of the love affair people have with the iPhone. And that's why people keep them when they have problems, because it just looks so nice. So, you know, maybe I'll be there with you at some point in the near future. I don't know. But let us know how your new experience is with your new phone. Love to hear back. Maybe it's this next voicemail. I don't know. But anyway, here comes the next one.
Hey, Todd, this is Clint calling from Houston. It is 9:15, and I am walking out of the T-Mobile store with an HD2. I'm going to take it home, charge it up, and everything, get it going. But anyway, it was a good experience all around. There were people lined up. I was fortunately the first in line, and we're real smooth. So there are about 20 people in line today at this specific T-Mobile store in the Clear Lake area of Houston. Everybody was cooperative. They took names and let a few people in at a time, and all worked out. Have a good day.
Well, I guess as we confirm, Clint, you got your phone. So you'll have to call us back and tell us what the subtle differences are, or what the major differences are. I'd love to hear your feedback on it after you've used it a couple of weeks, and give us the full rundown. Okay, you know what? I have been so entrenched in everything else I've been doing, I didn't even know. I didn't even know that was a big deal. It wasn't released. That tells you how much I'm on top of what's going on in the mobile world. So scope locked on everything else. Okay, let me go ahead here and load up the comments for tonight that came in via email, and see if I can. And not too many. I think we only got two. Looks like only two. I hope I didn't miss any. Got one from Ron. He said, "Todd, not sure if you mentioned this, but found it interesting. If you're still running XP after all these years, odds are you settled in nicely and don't plan to leave until you have no choice. Well, that might be happening sooner than you expected. Microsoft announced today that they were working on IE9 and that it would not support Windows XP. This could be a sign that Redmond is putting XP development permanently on the back burner." I think we all pretty much knew that. The new browser in IE9 is heavily dependent on hardware acceleration. So I think what's going to happen here is, because XP doesn't support that, that's why IE9 will no longer work on XP. So those of you, and I know I got some XP machines still. It still works, right? Why fix what's not broke, right? But anyway, very, very cool. I got an email from Bree. She said, "Hey, Todd. My agency, the GSA, has responsibility to preserve historic buildings. Look what one of the GSA carpenters found." Essentially, what happened, and I'm going to I read through this was he was surveying buildings for destruction, and he was in a building, and he was looking at one area of the building, and he felt like something, somebody tap on his shoulder, and he turned around and basically did some deeper investigation. I don't know if he was poking through walls or whatever, but he found out that the building he was in was the home of the initial home of the American Red Cross. And I hope I got the story right. I read over that quickly, but I'll have the link up in the show notes for you guys to check out. But this ghost said, "Don't tear down my building." So the carpenter got the shock of his life. Okay, we're here at the end. Sorry for all the interruptions earlier in the show. I'll try to figure out why the heck I didn't have band control on the app. It was really, it really distracted me. It really did. And I may actually go back and cut out some of that stuff early on. All this stuff was going on, and the people in the chat room on Ustream were basically screaming at this guy that was in here that was being an idiot. No pizzas delivered to my hotel room because I didn't tell anybody which hotel I'm in. So, just takes every time I'm on live in a time zone that is, where people are awake, we get these flaming idiots in the chat room. And I should probably just shut chat down and not watch it. But I was over here trying to right-click ban this guy, and the chat room thing would not let me. That irritated me more than anything. And, the Ustream's got its quirks. It really does. And they need to figure out what's going on there. But anyway, that's it. I guess the admin came in and did it. I don't know whoever got him in there. Thanks so much for getting the word out and getting this guy booted. But I'll see about making some people, some permanent admins that come in and figure out how to do that. But the rest of you on the audio program, maybe you didn't even hear all that stuff. Maybe I got it cut for you. Anyway, until next time, until next Monday, last show in Texas before I head back to Honolulu. Everyone take care. I'll hang out here a little while for those of you on Ustream. But for everyone else, have a great weekend. Be safe out there. And I hope you get some good weather to enjoy. Everyone take care. And aloha.